Just after 1 o'clock on Sportsnet 590, the Fan, Eric Smith, Paul Jones with you back again for another day, another week, another edition of Smith and Jones. And we've got you for the next hour as we lead up to Writer's Block coming up at 2 o'clock. And certainly a lot to get into today as we had some pretty significant news over the course of the weekend. Just yesterday, about 24 hours ago, a little more than 24 hours ago, as word came down that the Toronto Raptors would not be having their game yesterday. The tip-off would not happen between the Raptors and the Chicago Bulls due to the fact that contact tracing and COVID protocols prevented the Raptors from having the required 8 minimum players available for their game against Chicago. So that game called off, and still awaiting official word on what might go down over the course of the next few days with the Raptors' next games coming up tomorrow and Thursday, respectively, before we head into the All-Star break for the NBA. Yes, the NBA still having an All-Star break in spite of the fact that we have games being canceled because of COVID. It doesn't make sense to me, folks, so I'm sure it doesn't make sense to you either. We'll get into that with Alvin Williams in about 5-10 minutes time as well when he joins us. And then later on this hour, the other story, of course, to chat about, besides the Toronto Maple Leafs kicking butt in the North Division and taking all comers right now with the best record going across the board, is the Toronto Blue Jays. And the action beginning down at spring training down in Dunedin. Well, technically, the game being in Tampa, in the Raptors stomping grounds, just about a stone's throw away from the Buccaneers Stadium as well. The game yesterday over the New York Yankees. So we'll get into that and talk all things Jays with spring training underway when Pat Tabler joins us at the bottom of the hour around 1:30. But Jonesy, forgetting baseball, forgetting hockey, forgetting basketball for a second, I got to start with football, because it's the most topical, the most noteworthy or newsworthy in that it just came down in the last 20 minutes. And I like the fact that he said, source me. J.J. Watt tweeting out a picture 16 minutes ago of him doing a squat or something, I don't know, lifting more weight than I'll ever lift in my life, wearing an Arizona Cardinals t-shirt. And the only thing I'll say right off the bat is J.J. Watt going to the Cards makes the Cardinals a far better team. However, does J.J. Watt make the Cardinals a Super Bowl contender? And I thought he talked about wanting to go to a contender. He's certainly going to a better team than what he was on in Houston and the debacle and the gong show that the Texans are right now. But I certainly thought that J.J. would be heading elsewhere, whether it be Buffalo or Green Bay or Tampa Bay or Cleveland. I don't know. I was not. If you had given me 5 guesses, maybe even 10, I don't think I would have predicted the Arizona Cardinals.
What do they say with trades, right, E? Trades that are rumored rarely don't always happen, and trades that happen are rarely rumored or rarely out there. This is one of those things. Everybody had their eyes on J.J. Watt for a couple of places, and I'm a Browns fan. I bought in, like, okay, you know, he's where there's smoke, there's fire. And he goes totally off the board. I wonder what other moves. It just makes me think, though, E. I wonder what other moves the Cards have planned. Like, I wonder what else they have going that they've convinced him to come. Because, J.J., you come here, we're also in the process of doing A and B and C. And within, you know, a year or two, we're going to be contenders for the Lombardi Trophy. Mm-hmm. Like, you saw how close we were this year. We're about 3 pieces away, and you're one of them on defense. And a guy goes, all right, money's good, weather's good, organization looks good, teammates look good, boxes checked, let's do it. I mean, all it takes is one guy, E, we know that. All it takes is one guy to start the flow. It's like, well, shoot, that guy went there. Maybe it's not a bad spot. Maybe I want to play with him, and away you go.
It is interesting to think, too, that the people I'm sure in Green Bay that are, I mean, listen, I'm not angry about it. I'm not flipping out over it. And Arizona's not a bad team by any means either. I mean, when you think about having the weapons that they have on the offensive end, maybe to your point, it takes a guy like J.J. coming in to beef up the defense, and then somebody else comes in and boom, you're right there. Because they were already knocking on the door a little bit last year, at least in the first half of the season. I think things kind of petered off midseason and they sort of fell down into the muddled mix of the middle of the pack. But it was good to start the year. But if you're in Green Bay right now, and again, I reference the fact, I would have loved to have seen him in Buffalo. You would have loved to have seen him in Cleveland. But Green Bay, you got a dude from Wisconsin and an opportunity to go there. I was listening to you, actually, last weekend, I believe. I don't even remember who you were. You were on with George and somebody, I think. I think it was George. And
George,
talking about the impact that Reggie White made when Reggie White went to the Packers. And I don't know if it's fair to say rejuvenated his career, but certainly continued his career and brought it to yet another level beyond what he did in Philly by going to the Pack. And there was those similarities. But a dude from Wisconsin, I'm sure people are flipping out right now that J.J. Watt is not a member of the Packers, because they probably figured it was a foregone conclusion. He's coming to join Rodgers at least for a year or two, and he's going to join the Pack and come back home to the Cheese State.
Yeah, and what happens? They get none of it. They get absolutely nothing. And again, when something like that happens, you wonder if J.J. Watt is the first domino, or you know, they think that's just, you know, one piece that that we need that might put us over the top, might improve our defense to the point where with internal or organic improvement, we are going to get better. You don't know what the organization is thinking.
Well, again, J.J. Watt, if you missed it, he tweeted out, "Source me," again, working out with a T-shirt on, sporting the name and logo of the Arizona Cardinals. So J.J. Watt and the Arizona Cardinals coming together on a deal. So that's certainly the big news of the day in terms of sports signings, trades, rumors, this, that, and otherwise. It's not a rumor anymore. J.J. Watt to the Arizona Cardinals. All right, we're going to talk to Alvin Williams in a couple of minutes here, Jonesy, and we're going to dig deeper into this. But you and I, I'm sure, in the same boat. I was sitting at home yesterday getting set to, you know, do some final touches on some notes and some show prep to work the television broadcast, you know, yesterday. And I know you were working on the radio side of things as well and gearing up for the week ahead with the Raptors having three games over the course of 5 days. And then news comes out, Raptors aren't going to be playing. And COVID protocols, health and safety protocols, the Raptors are not able to put at least the minimum 8 healthy players on the floor. We don't have names. We don't have confirmation of who, what, where, when, why, how. But this, to me, again, I keep refreshing the inbox and checking the inbox and Twitter and everything else, just waiting for word for tomorrow. Because if you don't have the required minimum 8 for a game on Sunday, I can't imagine how things get cleared up in 48 hours to be able to play a game on Tuesday. But you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong.
Hello.
Oh. Well, I can hear Jonesy saying hello, so I can hear you, Jonesy. But we'll let the engineers figure things out and get things, you know, technically worked out on your end. I'm sure Lance and Derek will get it worked out, folks, and we'll get Jonesy back into the mix here in a second. But folks, as I speak to you then about that right now, and again, I'll get Jonesy's thoughts on it. I just don't see how it's going to be possible to play that game tomorrow. And again, I don't mean to play a doctor here and pretend to be one on the radio. I just don't see how if you've got, you know, 6-7 players, you figure based on the roster and not having 8. That means you've got at least 6, if not 7 players that either are directly impacted or infected, if we want to say that, or at the very least, the contact tracing potentially connected. And is that enough to get enough clearance or enough negative tests over the course of last night, today, and into tomorrow to lead up to the Pistons game? And do you want Detroit flying all the way down to Tampa for a game that ultimately, nope, sorry, you're not playing? That wouldn't make sense from a cost standpoint, let alone just the travel and the annoyance of the travel if you're flying all the way down for a game that isn't going to happen. So I got to think that the league will be making an announcement at some point very soon in terms of trying to get you know, a decision made regarding the game tomorrow, and if it's ultimately able to be played and safe enough to do so for both the Pistons and the Raptors. And we still are, you know, waiting official word too on the coaching staff. So even if the players are able to go magically, where do we stand with Nick Nurse and his assistants after Sergio Scariolo? By total fluke, coincidence, whatever words you want to use, Sergio was able to, you know, come out of his own quarantining after flying back from Poland, I believe it was, after coaching the Spanish national team at a FIBA qualifier, and was able to, you know, luckily fill in for Nick Nurse and a very depleted and thinned out staff and bench. He was able to get out there on the floor and lead the Raptors to the victory on Friday. But, of course, the Raptors then not able to get things going and able to suit up yesterday against the Chicago Bulls. So, again, we'll await word, as I would speculate that it'll come at some point this afternoon regarding the Pistons and Raptors for tomorrow. Bottom of the hour again, we'll talk to Pat Tabler and get his thoughts on the Toronto Blue Jays as the Jays are getting set for action again today. And Austin Martin in action for the Blue Jays. So that's certainly something that a lot of Jays fans will be keeping their eye on, and lots to get into with Pat over the course of the 15 minutes or so that we'll have him on when he joins us at the bottom of the hour. And Alvin Williams will be coming up in just a couple of moments, and we'll get Al's thoughts on the Raptors. We'll talk outside of COVID, obviously, and beyond just what happened yesterday, and kind of maybe discuss this team sort of at the halfway point of the season as we approach the official halfway point. And it continues to be a muddled mess right now in the Eastern Conference, where, you know, a game or two from one day to the next can make such a difference in terms of the standings and jockeying for positioning that will certainly go on in the second half of the season. Again, remember, 72-game season, most teams right around 34, 35 games right now, somewhere in that range. The Raptors at 17-17, sitting at 500, have now slid down to the seventh slot because of tiebreak scenarios and head-to-heads and everything else. Miami, coming on like gangbusters, has won six in a row, and now they've jumped all the way up to fifth just a couple of days ago, a week ago. They were down in like 11th, 12th, and now they are the fifth seed in the East. And we seem to talk about this almost on a daily basis because it's so bizarre to see, and it's such a storyline. There is right now a separation of only a game and a half between fourth and 10th. If we look at the 10th being that playoff seed, those play-in games, the New York Knicks, believe it or not, a game above 500 at 18-17, are sitting in that fourth seed, and they are only a game and a half ahead of the Chicago Bulls, who sit down in that 10th seed at 15-17. And the Raptors are only a game out of 10th and two games out of falling down to 12th. So it's just wild how many teams are jammed up in the East, and it's going to make for quite the race, I would imagine, in the second half of the season after next week's All-Star break in the NBA. So that's something to certainly keep an eye on as we approach the break and kind of look beyond that with the second half of the schedule released last week for the Raptors and for all the teams across the NBA. But it does, you know, lead the question, the conversation into this All-Star break as well. Listen, I don't want to sound like we're speaking selfishly or recency biased just because it finally now impacts the Raptors. The Raptors, of course, being one of the only, three, four teams, I believe, that hadn't been impacted by COVID until what's gone down now the last two, 3 days with Toronto. But when you look across the league and see the teams that have been impacted either in a big way or a minor way, again, 80%, 80%+ of your league has now had some sort of impact, some sort of absence from their roster, from their coaching staff, games delayed, games postponed, etc. How it is that you believe that the All-Star game should be going on still is beyond me. And listen, folks, I'm not an idiot. I know many people might disagree. I know it's about money. I know it's about cost savings. I know that the NBA has lost a ton of money over the course of the last 12 months. Most businesses, damn near, I would say, almost every business has lost money, from the mom and pop shop to the conglomerates. But at the same time, you've done a pretty decent job of navigating the season in spite of some of these dips, in spite of some of these hurdles. Take the breather when you have a chance to take the breather. You already made the decision at the beginning of the season to not have an All-Star game. You told Indianapolis, we're not coming to you. And you said you're getting it in 2024. We'll come back in a few years. And then midway through the season, you decide, yep, we're firing it up again, and we're going to do this. I don't get it, man. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me why the NBA is doing this. And then even if I'm willing to meet you halfway to say, all right, the guys are being tested twice a day. They're going to be flying in on private jets and private charters. So they're going to be tested regularly in Indianapolis. They're all coming in from having played one another in the league anyways with all the regular testing and all the protocols in place. They're not going to be allowed to go anywhere in Atlanta. They're not going to be able to do anything. They're just going to come in, put on the show. We're going to be able to, you know, make some money off this. We're going to be able to appease our sponsors and whatnot and our advertisers. Okay, great. But then why is it that we're talking about having a dunk contest as well and bringing in more people and bringing in the youngsters and putting on some sort of a show? Again, I know you're trying to make it as close to as normal, quote unquote, as possible, but there is nothing normal about the world right now. So we have to look beyond just the normal and doing things a little bit different. So I can't wrap my head around why the league continues to plow through with this idea, and there's certainly no way, no chance that they're going to back out now. It's going to be coming up next week, but this is just yet another slap-in-the-face reminder what's happening with the Raptors of how asinine the decision is by the NBA to be putting on this All-Star game, and I don't get it. We're still trying to work things out technically with Jonesy, so we'll get Paul back into the mix as soon as we can, and we'll bring him back in mere moments. But joining me on the line right now, I'll go solo for a couple minutes until Jonesy is available, is our friend, our colleague, Alvin Williams. Al, good to talk to you.
What's up, E? How are you, man?
Doing well, man. Doing well. Al, I said kind of in leading up to bringing you on, at the risk of beating a dead horse, because I know we've discussed this, the news with the Raptors over the course of the weekend, I think you probably just heard me saying it as well, it does kind of just slap you in the face again, the realization, the reality that what in the hell is the NBA doing putting on an All-Star game next week? It just, aside from the cash, and that's probably the one and only factor, why in the world is the league doing this?
Yeah, it's just all this stuff slaps you in the face. And what slaps me in the face is being a former player is the players, they're not being listened to. You've had multiple players come out and talk about, you know, the severity of this, the uncertainty of what they want to do. And even, you know, there's been so many restrictions. Players are really just questioning, like, if it's that serious, then why are we actually playing, a bottom line? And then when you just figure out the business of everything, the business, as you mentioned, it has to be finances by it, because the All-Star game is supposed to be a fun fan event. And if the fans aren't there to enjoy it and the television piece is not what's going to bring the fans to it, it's the actual interaction, it's the actual gameplay, it's all of those things. So I have no clue of the significance of it, but I'm not the mastermind behind it all. You know, the NBA has proven to be forward thinkers and try to execute things properly. But right now, I'm just as confused as you are, and I'm sure everyone else or many other people are.
Yeah, I don't get it. We're speaking with Alvin Williams, former Toronto Raptor, longtime NBAer, of course, our colleague here at Sportsnet as well. Al, again, I know it's recency bias and it's hit close to home now because of the Toronto Raptors, but I've been saying this for a couple of weeks anyways, before this was even a Raptor issue, with all the cases going on around the league. I'm actually giving the NBA credit. I'm giving Major League Baseball credit. I'm giving the National Hockey League credit. The National Football League, for that matter, as well. To be able to conduct their seasons, to be able to have guys flying around, whether they're in a bubble or out of a bubble, to be going in and out of cities and hotels and playing games and on the field and sweating on one another in close proximity and all that, you knew there were going to be cases. There were going to be teams that maybe were worse off than others. There were going to be some games that were canceled. But for the most part, in large part, I give the league's credit for navigating as well as they have and making such good decisions. And I feel like the NBA, to speak specifically to them, they have hit almost every decision to this point out of the park. So this one is such a swing and a miss. It to me is even more baffling because of, again, they've made so many good decisions that why they didn't see that this is such a problem. I guess I'm scratching my head because they've made so many good decisions up to this point that this almost seems out of character.
Yeah, and you're right. And that's what I alluded to a little bit earlier. It's just the NBA has gained our confidence in, you know, being forward thinkers and, you know, being proactive when it comes to trying to figure out a solution. And without me being in the offices and having those, in-depth conversations and the strategic conversations and knowing the absolute partnerships that and the responsibilities, I just speak from what logically looks like it doesn't make sense. You're putting people at risk. It seems like you're forcing the issue. And it just it doesn't make sense to me. And once again, I always feel like if you talk about the players and the NBA and the players and the owners and all of those things as a true partnership, it seems like some of the players or most of the players are not being listened to in this partnership. It's more of, you know, they're going, this is what we have to do in order to make this go forward, and no one's coming to the, together at the table. And once again, with all of this, the pandemic and everything that's going on, I still don't understand how sports takes a priority or a front seat to a solution of getting all of these things cleared up. Until we figure that piece out, none of this stuff personally with me will make sense when it comes to the lens of athletic and sports during this time.
Speaking with Alvin Williams, Al, to that point, I don't know if you heard the comment or not or read about it, and I'm 1,000% paraphrasing here, but after Friday's game against Houston, the victory for the Raptors over the Rockets, Fred VanVleet was asked post-game, and again, totally paraphrasing here, but he was asked about, you know, trying to mentally grasp or deal with or think about what's happening with the team, i.e. Pascal not playing in that game, COVID protocols, Nick Nurse not being there, the staff not being there. And what Fred said, again, you know, my own spin on the take, the version of what he said was, listen, I don't have the luxury that you guys have being on the other side of the computer screen. I have to do my job. So I don't have time necessarily to think about it. And that wasn't – I didn't take Fred to mean that he didn't care about his teammates, didn't care about his coach. He's certainly concerned, I'm sure. But he doesn't have the time or the ability to maybe think about it, concern himself with it, because, hey, at the end of the day, this is my job. I've got to go play. Can you try and put yourself, Al, in that mental mindset right now where if you were playing in the NBA to this day right now, how you would be approaching – knowing, like, I'm going to be tested twice a day, I'm away from my family, I got to think about teammates, I got to think about opponents, I got to, like, I'm sure some people are taking the pandemic and masking and distancing and all that more serious than others, but knowing that at the end of the day, all I can do is trust myself and hope I'm doing the best, and after that, man, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah, and that's the mindset, and we've seen players and individuals evolve. But pretty much, my job is to go out there and play ball under any circumstance, as long as I'm treated fairly, as long as, you know, things are going on an up and up, how I see it. Now, you have players that will, you know, push the envelope and they will challenge things. But for the most part, the players are going out there, they're going to do the job that they're paid to do and something that they love to do and something that they've committed to do. And the thing about it is people from the outside really don't give a damn. You get out there and play, and you'll hear it a lot. You know, you get paid a lot of money. What are you complaining for? Or just go out there. I wish it was me. But a lot of people never take in the human aspect of an athlete or the human effect of an athlete when it comes down to this. So Fred, he's going out there doing what's expected of him and what he feels like that he has the responsibility to do. And I think more of the players are thinking like that opposed to some players, you know, going against what's in front of them right now. You mean, you have some players that will speak out, but you have some players, for the most part, are going to try to do everything that they can do to continue to play, give their all to their player, to their teammates and their team, and get paid by doing it. So that's the biggest thing I see.
Speaking with Alvin Williams, Al, tell me if I'm being melodramatic. You can call me out on this. We've known each other long enough. I kind of make this akin to, and I've, you know, never played at any significant level, nowhere near the way you have, collegiately or professionally. But I kind of take this almost akin to when you injure yourself. Even a weekend warrior that's out there right now that's never played at any significant level. You hurt your knee. You hurt your hand, your wrist, whatever. You hurt your body part in some way, shape, or form. When you finally heal and you get back out on the court, on the ice, on the field, that first time, is my broken wrist going to respond that first time I go to hit that fastball when it's coming at me? Is my knee going to respond that first time a guy's coming at me and I've got to move laterally, left, right, whatever, and my knee's not going to buckle under me and I'm going to, you know, tear my ACL again? Just the mental aspect of knowing my body truly has healed, and it will respond. Using that correlation, this is where I say, tell me if I'm being melodramatic. I got to think the mental aspect of knowing that the opponent I'm playing against has a dude that had COVID, or five dudes that had COVID, or a team that I'm playing against, I assume they're healthy. They've passed their testing. I've passed my testing. But every time I go out there and I'm banging against these guys, am I putting myself at risk with the virus? And just that mental aspect of acknowledging and accepting that, to your point, as you just said, I don't know that I have a choice because this is my job. And this is what's expected of me. But that's got to be mentally draining, at least for some guys.
No, for sure. For sure. And it goes down to the individual. For the most part, I feel like the players do have the trust of the NBA, or they trust in the NBA, and they trust in the system and the protocol to make sure that they're safe for the most part, as much as they can be. I'm sure it's, you know, a slight percentage where you are running a risk. But for the most part, I believe the NBA, they have gained majority of the players, you know, trust, which allows them the guys to go out there and still perform and still, you know, of course they have to have their masks when they're not playing those things, but they go out there and perform to the best of their abilities. So, but you are going to have players that's not trusting. You know, we've seen the Kevin Durant situation where he started the game late due to the protocols, and then they grab him out of the game. So if I'm a player after that, like, whoa, hold on. Something's a little shaky. So you have to start thinking about that. And I don't think you're melodramatic in any way, because athletes, one thing again, is the human element. And you could be a weakened warrior, you could be whatever. If you do not have the trust, if you don't have the mental fortitude to go out there and do what you want to do and be healthy and 100% or close to it, then it's going to affect you big time. And it's not just going to affect your performance. It's going to affect how you approach people. It's going to affect how you approach other things daily. So the mental aspect is very important, and it's critical that all of these things be taken into consideration when you're asking players or you're asking people to do things that could be possibly, you know, go against their overall health, overall well-being.
Speaking with longtime Toronto Raptor and our colleague here at Sportsnet, Alvin Williams, we're still working things out technically with Jonesy on his end of things, but we do have him on the phone. So, Jonesy, I'll throw it over to you as we bring you back into the mix.
Thanks, guys. And Al, I guess I just wanted to ask you, how long does it take to recover for something like this? I mean, you know, individuals, and you talked about the mental side and how it has to be right. It's kind of like, I guess it would be like recovering from an injury. You can do all the rehab, but it's not till you get out on the floor. So what's the recovery going to be like for the team, you know, coming back and you know, bouncing back from games that have been postponed with questions in their head?
You know, the one thing I can say that seems pretty consistent with athletes, they have a short memory. You know, they'll go through it and they'll adjust, they'll adapt and get right back to the line of action. So hopefully it sticks in place with here. And I'm not talking about just the overall, you know, the overall landscape of this situation of the pandemic and everything. But I think as far as going out there to perform and going out there, giving your all and performing at a high level, athletes for the most part have a short memory when it comes to those type of things. So hopefully it doesn't take long at all, or if it's moments at all that they will be affected or impacted.
Speaking with Alvin Williams. Al, you got a couple minutes left with you. Let's talk a little bit more about on the floor. I don't know if we should be previewing a game against the Pistons tomorrow, because we don't even know if the game's going to happen. But as we approach this halfway point right now, and this is maybe similar to conversations we've had over the last couple of weeks, but where do you see this team at right now in terms of, you know, and listen, I don't necessarily want to get into buyer, seller, trade deadline, whatever, but where are they at, and have we yet figured out what they are, or are they still trying to navigate their way through what they are and what they can be?
Yeah, man, I'll tell you, this has been a wacky few year. It's been a wacky year. And not only can you have to look at the Raptors, you have to look at other teams. And the Raptors we see right now, they're starting to roll. They're starting to get their momentum. They're starting to feel hopeful. And then something like this will happen, right, where people are playing, the coaching staff, and things are just adjusted. Games are being postponed. So now, does that set you all the way back to Jonesy's point? Can the players adjust? But as a whole, how does that stop the momentum? You know, how does that halt the momentum and halt the progress? But also, I look at a team like Miami Heat, who's turning it around. You look at Milwaukee's starting to look like they might be figuring it out. You look at the Sixers who've been playing consistent. The Nets are feeling like they're starting to get their mojo. So it's just, it's not about, I think, in particular the Raptors. I think it's about the landscape of the entire East. As far as the Raptors, I still see them being the team that, you know, the 6-8 seed because the ability, but more so the temperament and the maturity that they have. But it's so hard to determine who they are because I don't think we know who the other teams are necessarily, and that's the problem for me to try to figure out.
Al, I might be going down a wormhole here that I shouldn't, and I know we have to take a break. But what if the NBA can't finish and they have to do like some of the college conferences and go on winning percentage? I mean, if you're Toronto, you just beat Houston, and you have – you had Chicago and Detroit, very winnable games coming up, and you could be all of a sudden, you know, a few games over 500, and those games are lost for you.
Hmm. Yeah,
where does the league go? How does the league even that out, to be fair?
Hey, man, can somebody hire me so I can get paid the big bucks to figure out some of these things? Jones, I have no clue. And before you jump back on, I was just explaining or telling E that I just never understood the importance of playing games right now opposed to getting everything fixed or getting in a place where we don't have to have so many questions and we don't have to have so much uncertainty because you're right. Putting people's lives at risk for something that possibly they don't even go through any longer. At any moment, the league can come to a halt, and like it did last year, right? At any moment. So, you know, hopefully it doesn't. But I wish I had the answers to those questions because I don't know how you're supposed to respond as a team. I don't know how you're supposed to respond as a league, and what's the proper way to go about things to make sure everything, you know, stays kind of normal. So I just don't know the answer to that, Jonesy.
All right, well, listen, Al, if you end up getting hired and you end up getting that job, then I think you need to at least hire, you know, Jonesy and I as, like, you know, we're like VPs or something. You can be the CEO, you can be the president, but you need a couple of VPs because, you know, we're discussing this together. So you're not taking and stealing our ideas as well. This needs to be a collaborative effort. So we're a three-headed monster then.
Hey, man, we're having no other way.
Thanks, Al.
And hey, listen, as Jonesy always says, we'll take the point. You can have the 2 million. We'll just take the point. 2.6. I'll take 6. I'm good with the point. Right? No problem.
All right. Well, we'll figure that part out. But I'll have no other way with the three-headed monster.
All right, Al. Listen, we appreciate the time as always. Stay safe and healthy, man. And I'm sure we'll be talking again soon.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, Al.
There is Alvin Williams, longtime Toronto Raptor, former NBA, our colleague here at Sportsnet. We'll shift our attention from the NBA and the Toronto Raptors to the Toronto Blue Jays in action as we speak. And we'll discuss the Jays spring training, the upcoming season, and more with Pat Tabler when we continue on Smith & Jones on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Back on Smith & Jones, Eric Smith, Paul Jones with you. And we shift our attention from the world of the NBA to Major League Baseball. The Jays in action right now. And currently in the bottom of the second, Jays up 2-1 on Pittsburgh. Second game of the spring season for the Blue Jays. To discuss the Blue Jays, not just spring training, but looking ahead to the regular season as well, our colleague here at Sportsnet, longtime Major Leaguer, former Toronto Blue Jay, Pat Tabler. Pat, thanks for the time today.
Sure, guys. Happy to be here talking about the Jays.
Yes, Pat, it's certainly welcome, no doubt about it. It means that, I know you're in Ohio and we're here in Ontario, not getting, you know, enjoying the sunshine down in Florida, but it means that, mm-hmm. Hey, spring's coming, baseball's coming, the summer's coming, the warmer weather is en route. Hey, Pat, I wanted to ask you off the bat here. We just had former Toronto Raptor Alvin Williams on with us to start the show, and I don't mean to begin this on a bit of a negative tone, perhaps, but I think it's reality. It's what we're all dealing with. You've been there, and you were there for so long as a player. How much do you think the mental side of the game has changed, looking back to last summer and then looking ahead to this season as well, for the athletes, for the coaches that are in the mix, knowing that whether they're serious about the pandemic, whether they're not as serious, whether they're, you know, taking the vaccine or not, whatever it is, the reality of knowing that they're playing in a pandemic and flying in and out of cities and playing against opponents that have maybe had outbreaks and whatnot, the mental side of just knowing that it's in your brain somewhere and just kind of having to deal with it and put your head down and do your job.
You know what? That is such a great point because it's so true. We are all, everyone is dealing with this in some way, but if you could slip your feet into the shoes of a professional athlete, and especially a professional athlete who plays pretty much every day, or they're in and out of towns regularly, what they have to deal with, the mental grind of that has got to be incredibly tough on them. Not just playing the game and physically showing up, but going through the testing and watching what you do and where you go and who you're with and always guarded about that. That's why I think what happened with the Blue Jays last year and their 60-game schedule, and it was basically a 60-game road schedule for the Jays. They basically lived out of a suitcase for two straight months going through that. And then not having one case pop up, making the playoffs, and really dealing with what everything that was in front of them, you have to be some kind of headstrong, mentally disciplined, be able to like get knocked down and get right back up. So what the professional athletes are going through, and the college athletes also, it just adds on layer after layer after layer. The job is tough enough to do already. Now you add all of this on top of it. So my hat goes off to them. I salute these guys, what they're going through, how tough it is to perform and to perform at the level that they're playing and performing at, to do it on top of everything else that's going on. Now, I think as we get into the summer and as we get to the other side of this, I think it'll start to make things a little bit better. You get the vaccine, you start to get some herd immunity, the cases go down, the deaths go down, things like that. And I think the players, then it'll just ease in and we'll just ease back and get back into some normalcy, because I'm telling you guys, everybody wants to get back to normal the way it was about a year ago.
Tabby, tell me this then. With the way the Jays pulled it off last year amidst all the circumstances we've talked about, how much of that is, hey, man, I just love to play and I can baseline it. I can justify it in a sense that I'm lucky. It doesn't matter where we're playing. I'm out here doing something that I love and I'm playing ball and the weather's nice. I got my teammates around and let's just get after it. And hence you get a season like they had last year where they end up in the playoffs and nobody thought they could with all the challenges facing them.
I likened it last year to a bunch of guys going back to college and hanging out together, because that was basically the only people they could hang out with for the 2 months. Was they were in their bubble, they were in their own little space. So they spent a lot of time together, and a lot of the players said that was a great time to grow together as a team. They also talked about how much fun it was, because that's all they had was each other. We're going to do this as a team, and we're going to take on all comers, and we're going to have a lot of fun doing it. So I likened it like the guys were back in college, just having a good time, you know, with each other and not just taking on the world as a team, because that's what it felt like to me. And a lot of them said they had such a great time last summer, especially then winning and getting into the playoffs.
Speaking with Blue Jays analyst, former major leaguer Pat Tabler. Pat, here's another one, I guess, you know, pandemic related. Then maybe we can actually talk some on-field stuff and get away from that. The Toronto Raptors, and I know you're a big sports fan, a big basketball fan as well. The Toronto Raptors, of mm-hmm. course, started their season down in Tampa and then fairly quickly announced that, all right, you know what? We're staying in Tampa for the season. And you know, there was some hope, at least when the season began, that the Raptors might be able to come back to Toronto at some point during the season. But then again, as I say, that was, you know, fairly quickly squashed, that nope, they are committed to Tampa for the duration of this NBA season. The Toronto Blue Jays now are opening the year in Dunedin. There's been rumblings about whether they stay in Dunedin, whether they split some time in Buffalo as well, but obviously keeping the door open for a return to Toronto, whether it's in May, June, July, at some point this season, getting back north of the border into their own building. That's great, and we all have our fingers crossed. We all hope it can happen. But in the meantime, how difficult do you think it makes it then for Mark Shapiro and for Ross Atkins to continue to try and tweak this roster, make trades, make signings with clients, with players, and more so with the agents, not really knowing where's my guy going though? Is he living out of a suitcase, as you just talked about, for a couple of months, living the college life and kind of playing out of Dunedin, playing out of Buffalo? Is he eventually going north of the border? Is he going to be in Canada? What does that look like? How difficult do you think it is for the management team right now?
You know what? It is so difficult what they are going through. It's almost like they're trying to juggle like five or six balls at one time. And they're trying to catch them all. One's starting to fall, and they got to pick it up, and they got to throw it up in the air again as they try to put this puzzle together of how they're going to put not just the team together, but where they're going to play. One other factor that a lot of people don't think about, they don't know about, is the players and their families. What, you know, you're married and you've got kids and they're in school, and you're going to put them, you know, are you going to be in Dunedin? Are you going to be in Buffalo? Should we just stay home? Some of them live in Florida. There is so many things that go into this that they have to deal with, not just the management, but the players that they have to deal with. And that's why I salute them. And I just love what they have done, that what they've done to put themselves in the position to be a good team. And it's like, you know what, we're going to take on the whole world. We're going to take everybody on right now and go with it. As for where they're going to play, they're going to start in Dunedin, as everybody knows, for April and May. There's some talk that, you know, as the weather warms up in Buffalo and they can't get to Toronto, maybe we'll play a couple of months in Buffalo in June and July. Their goal, I know, is to get back in Toronto and get back into their home field so the fans can come out and take a look at this team and see this team, how exciting and how exceptional that what they have done to put a good product on the field. That's the ultimate goal. Is it going to happen? No one knows at this point. No one knows where this is going. It's almost like they're taking it one day at a time, you know, like they say. For the players, though, I know a lot of them, and they've talked about it already this spring. We're going to control the things that we can control, and that's between the lines. Everything else, they will make adjustments. This is a good group of kids. They're ready to do whatever they need to do to help win. But right now, they have talked about our focus and the things that we can control are on the field. That's all that we're going to worry about, and everything else, we're going to let it play out.
Tabby, I know Eric wanted to get onto the field, and I'll throw this at you. Much has been made of a slimmed-down version of Vladdy 2.0. It was only the first look yesterday, but what did you see, and how do you think that helps him going forward?
I saw some quickness. I saw quickness with the bat. I saw him make a couple plays at first base, but I saw that quickness in that explosion that you need as a baseball player. I didn't see that last year, except towards the end. And, you know, he recognized and he manned up and said, you know what? I wasn't in shape. And he wasn't. If you take a look at him, everybody could tell he wasn't in shape. He looks thinner. I think he could still lose a little bit more. But the game of baseball is played in the midsection. You bend over a lot, you're twisting and you're turning. And if you've got 40 extra pounds sitting there, what do you think's going to happen? You're going to be slower. You're not going to have the energy level. You're not going to be able to move. Baseball, like I said, is an explosion kind of game. You wear those quick movements, quick twitch muscles. And if you don't have that, if you're carrying, you know, 40 extra pounds, go get a dumbbell and carry that around with you and feel how that is to run. You're not going to be successful. Luckily, he recognized that. He did something about it. Now let's keep it off, maybe lose a little bit more, and I think great things are going to happen to him. He's just 21 years old. It's a heck of a lesson that he learned at a young age, but I think it's going to benefit him in the future. And I from what I saw yesterday, I saw some speed and some quickness. He just missed that ball, that hanging breaking ball. You give him another week or so, his timing, and he's going to hit that ball out that he hit to the warning track. But very encouraged from what I saw yesterday from him.
All right, Pat, we didn't get into enough on-field stuff, and we're plumb out of time now. So whether it's late this week, next week, we've got to get you back on the show, and we will talk more X's and O's and more actual baseball. And, hey, by then we'll have more games to discuss and more more of a look at the players as well. So we'll get you back on soon to continue this conversation. Thanks for this, Pat.
Call anytime. You guys have a great day. Thanks for calling.
Will do. Thanks, Pat.
All right.
There is a longtime major leaguer, former Toronto Blue Jay, and our colleague here at Sportsnet, Blue Jays analyst Pat Tabler. We're going to step aside for a break, but before we do, Jonesy, wanted to mention that coming up all this week from 5 to 7 on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, it's Arash Madani and Stephen Brunt. Guests today include John Gibbons, Chris Pronger, Tom Glavine, and more, so check it out. All week long, Tim and Friends will also begin on March 8th, so make sure you keep that in mind starting next week. Tim and Friends beginning March 8th on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet. We'll step aside and come back with more Smith and Jones on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Back on Smith and Jones, Eric Smith, Paul Jones with you. About a minute left in the program. Thanks again to Alvin Williams and Pat Tabler for joining us on the program today. Still awaiting word on the Toronto Raptors game tomorrow against the Detroit Pistons. We can update you on the Blue Jays. Spring training action as we speak. Top of the third, Jays leading Pittsburgh 2-1. Tonight, the Toronto Maple Leafs in action. You can watch it on Sportsnet, 9:30 pregame show, 10 o'clock puck drop, Leafs and Oilers. And Jonesy, I guess we'll find out today and find out tomorrow if we're going to be getting set to call the Raptors and Pistons on these airwaves tomorrow evening or not.
Yeah, it's all up in the air right now, E, and the best thing we can do is just hope that everybody's safe and the NBA, as they continue to do, make the right decision around keeping people safe yet trying to play the games.
Thanks to our crew and to all of you. Again, we are back tomorrow at 1 o'clock Eastern for more Smith and Jones right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.